Good morning. I don't normally do this, but I can't help myself. How about those Red Raiders? Huh? The Aggies in the room are grieving this morning, but it's okay. It's okay. Tommy, it'll be all right. Tommy wanted to know if there was a basketball tournament happening this, yeah. No, I think everybody in Texas is a Red Raider this just for the next couple of days, okay? Well, we're so pull for them, but I don't know what was said back there. Something was smart alecky, probably. If you're visiting with us this morning, we really are glad that you're here. We're glad that you're our guest this morning. Hope you feel the love of Christ in this place. There is a card in the pocket in front of you. Would love for you to fill that out. You don't have to do that, but I sure like it when I know who's been here and would get a chance to get to know you. At the end of the service, I'll be out in the foyer and would love to meet you. You can bring the card, and I have a free gift for you. If you don't want to do that, you can just leave the card there in the seat as you leave, but we really hope that you feel welcome and we'll come back and worship with us again. If you would, turn with me to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. And hold your thumb there and also flip. I'm going to read two scriptures for us this morning. We'll also flip over to 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11. Hold your finger on both of those. All right, first with John 13, beginning in verse 21. I want to kind of set this stage up here. This is Jesus is with his disciples in the upper room the night before he goes to the cross, and he has just washed the disciples' feet. And I'm not going to read that passage, but that's significant because he's getting ready to lay his life down for us. And I want you to think about who's in the room with him. I want you to think about what some have already done and what some will do, and whose feet he washed and who he is serving this meal to, as we read here in verse 21. After he had said this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, "I tell you the truth, one of you is going to betray me." So who's that means at the table? Judas is still, has just had his feet washed. Jesus says, "One of you is going to betray me." His disciples stared at one another at a loss to which one of them he meant. One of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, we know that if you're familiar with the book of John, John, who wrote the book of John, the Gospel of John, refers to himself, I love this, the disciple whom Jesus loved. And it's not an arrogant kind of thing. It's just John knew Jesus loved him. And he's not saying he loved me more than anybody else or that he loves you less or anything like that. He just knows that Jesus loved him. So John is the one that we're referring to here. One of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter motioned to this disciple and said, "Ask him which one he means." Leaning back against Jesus, he asked him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." Then dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, son of Simon. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. "What you are about to do, do quickly," Jesus told him. But no one at the meal understood why Jesus said this to him. Since Judas had charge of the money, some thought Jesus was telling him to buy what was needed for the feast or to give something to the poor. As soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out. It was night. Now flipping over to 1 Corinthians 11. So we have this account where we just read this account that it comes from the Apostle John, who was at that meal and is relaying these things. And then we skip forward. Jesus has ascended into heaven. He's He's gone to the cross. He's been resurrected. He's ascended. And now Paul is taking the gospel to the Gentiles, and he reflects back on this moment, 1 Corinthians 11, beginning in verse 23. Paul says this, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you." The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, you are indeed welcome here. We ask you to speak in power and authority and transform us in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week I began this sermon series on the sacraments. Today's message is on Holy Communion. Now, I'm going to kind of quickly recap a little bit of how I started off last week. The sacraments, that we don't use that word that often. If you really go back and unpack that the Greek there, it's referring to sacrament is referring to mystery. It's like somehow mysteriously Christ is present in the sacraments. It's a mystery. That sacraments, and I go ahead and throw that slide up there, Lee. I tried to make it a little bit bigger this week, see if you can see it better. God's grace being conveyed down to us through the sacraments. In the Protestant church, we recognize two sacraments, baptism and Holy Communion. It's the means by which grace is received by the believer. It's how Christ conveys himself to us, how Christ conveys his grace to us through the sacraments. So I want to talk a little bit today about Holy Communion. We, at the end of the service, we will have Holy Communion. You'll have the opportunity to partake in that. You know, I've said this before, but I'm kind of ashamed of this, but growing up as a little boy, when you're a little boy and once a month you have communion and you go through the liturgy and I didn't get it. You know, I was a little boy, I didn't get it. And I just thought, man, this is taking a long time. I mean, you know, this is taking a long time. We got to read all this stuff. I don't even know what it means. What's this all about? And so I kind of grew up as a young man. I just kind of grew up and just not getting it. And there was a moment in 1991. It was on a walk to Emmaus, and I for the very first time I understood that this meal is a costly meal. It's a holy meal. The significance of it. I could preach weeks and weeks and weeks on the sacraments. I'm trying to just kind of hit some highlights here. But on Holy Communion, first of all, we partake of Holy Communion because Christ sacrificed his body and blood for you. Now, I want you to, last week we talked about baptism, and I used the wedding ring. Speaking of, it's a sign of a covenantal love that Cheryl and I have made this vow to one another, and the ring is a sign. Baptism is a sign of the new covenant. Well, if we look into communion, and it's symbolic of Jesus' sacrificial death as a love offering for us, and it is the covenant. It is the covenant. Are you following me? The baptism is a sign of the covenant, but Holy Communion is the covenant. His death and resurrection. We are partaking in this love offering that Jesus has given for us. Now, and I mentioned it earlier, it really strikes me, it's very very striking to me that that Judas was at the table. That Jesus washed his feet. And not just Judas. Judas kind of gets a bad rap, like he was the only one. You know, Peter denied that he even knew him. He's at the table. And everyone else, all the other disciples except for John, scattered. I mean, they just, like a covey of quail, they just, you know, when the going got tough, they just scattered and hid. And Jesus, he'd been saying, and I'm kind of getting into a sermon next week, but he had been saying for weeks that he had been predicting what was to come. We're going to Jerusalem and all these things are going to happen. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed. He's going to be whipped and beaten, and he's going to be killed. And on the third day, he's going to rise from the dead. And so you see that Jesus knew. He knew that Judas would betray him, and yet he washed his feet. He offered him the bread. He knew Peter would deny him. He washed his feet. He offered him the bread. He knew the others would scatter except for John. He washed their feet. He offered them this meal. I've had people tell me this before. I don't feel worthy to partake of this meal. And I say, that's great. You are a perfect candidate. You can go with me. How about you and I do it? Because we don't come as a perfect people. We come as a repentant and a redeemed people to this meal. Jesus was troubled in spirit when he said, one of you will betray me. Then he says, this is my body and blood, which is for you. It's this so the sacrifice, this sacrificial meal, it's for believers in Christ. It's for followers of Jesus Christ. Christ sacrificed his body and blood for you. And I want the you to stick out this morning. For you. Not just for the whole world, but for you. He went to the cross. He took the... You know, we focus on the suffering of Christ on the cross, which we should, but also think about the humiliation. Think about I don't know how else to say this, but the hurt of, these are my friends that are denying me. That's my friend that says, I don't know the man. These are my friends who have scattered into the bushes. That's my friend who came and betrayed me with a kiss. And yet, he went to the cross knowing all those things. This is my body and blood, which is for you, Jesus said. Secondly, we partake in Holy Communion because Jesus instructed us to. Jesus told us to do this. Jesus said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this. Do it. He's establishing something that he's wanting to continue. After supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this. So what's interesting, you'll have churches and pastors and different people that'll say, you have to do it. You know, every day, you have to do it once a week, you have to do it, you just do it once a month, once a year, whatever, and it has to be, you know, look like this and all. He didn't give all those details. He just said, this is my body, this is my blood, it's remember me when you do this, and do it. We partake in Holy Communion because Jesus told us to. Somehow, and I've learned this more and more, in the last couple of years, it's really becoming more and more relevant to me that through baptism and through Holy Communion, Christ is present. He is present in those sacraments. He is present. Now, I'm not Roman Catholic. Roman Catholics would think that the body, the the bread and the wine actually become the body and blood of Jesus. That, you know, it's tangibly, it changes. I don't believe that. Our denominational doctrine does not believe that. It is a sign. We are doing this to remember. It is a sign. Now, theologians have been debating that for thousands of years, so if you want to get in on that debate with me, I welcome that. It's okay. We can talk about that. But we understand that that this is symbolic of what Christ has done for us, and he is somehow present in this, and he said for us to do it. Thirdly, we partake in Holy Communion because we remember his sacrificial death. And I've already talked about that some, but there is this remembering. Jesus said, "This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Well, what is he talking about to do it in remembrance of him? He's not just to remember Jesus, but to remember what he has done for us, to remember that he has allowed his body to be broken and his blood to be spilled for our sake. To remember that when we come forward, to remember that. Now listen to this. In verse 26, it says this: "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So not only is he saying do it, but he's saying do it until I come back. Keep doing it until I come back. This meal is significant. I've talked about this before when we've done communion, but I want to kind of go back and set the stage for that night, that evening when Jesus gathered his disciples and did that. It was Passover. In the Jewish faith, Passover is that celebration and that remembrance of back when they were in captivity, when they were in bondage to the Egyptians, and God was getting ready to free them, and he told them to go and slaughter the purest lamb that they could and take the lamb's blood and to put it over their doorpost, and that death would pass over that home, that when the Spirit came over through that area, would see the blood of the lamb, and he would recognize this household belongs to God. And so death would pass over that house. So we skip all the way forward, and every year the Jews had been celebrating this Passover meal where they remembered that they were saved from death by God. So Jesus changes the script that night. He says, now this is a new covenant. No longer, I'm just kind of filling in the blanks here. No longer do you need to go and sacrifice an animal and it's the lamb's blood that will save you from death. No, I am the Lamb of God. I am the perfect and eternal sacrifice, and my blood will save you. Or shake your head if anybody's listening. My blood will save you. So, and I picture our hearts being that doorway, and that the blood of Christ is painted over our heart, the doorway to our heart. And so when death comes, we know that sin produces death. It's the consequences of sin is death. And when death comes for us, it sees the blood of the Lamb. It passes over us into eternal life. We are saved from death by the blood of the Lamb. That's the essence of this meal. And Jesus said, when you partake of this meal, remember that. I want you to do it, and I want you to remember that. And at this point, when he's instituting this meal, he had not gone to the cross yet, but he's setting it up. He's telling them, he went into Jerusalem knowing this was going to happen. He's setting it up, and he's telling them, hey, partake of this meal and remember me. Remember, this is my body broken for you. This is my blood spilled for you. Remember that when you take it. The next morning, he's in the garden praying, and Judas shows up with a kiss. Same one he washed his feet that night before. Betrays him with a kiss. Peter's nice and tough, and he cuts off a soldier's ear, and he's ready to take on the world. But whenever Jesus is brought before the authorities, and all these people are clamoring around for his crucifixion, Peter says, "I don't know the man." And he does it three times. "I don't know the man." And he hears the rooster crow. And can't you see Jesus? I just envision Jesus being maybe across the way from when that rooster crows, and Peter looks at Jesus, and in his mind he's thinking, "Uh-oh, that's what Jesus said would happen." And their eyes meet. Can you picture that moment? Their eyes meet. And Peter's thinking, "Oh, it happened just like he said." And I can just imagine the look in Jesus' eyes was one of love. "Brother, I told you this was going to happen. I told you were going to deny me." And I can't help but jump forward to the resurrected Jesus when he appeared before Peter. And I've thought many times that Peter was thinking, "Uh-oh." That's got to be in the Bible somewhere where Peter says, "Uh-oh." And Jesus comes and embraces him. He says, "Peace be with you." He doesn't say, "You know, Peter," he doesn't give him a good scolding, does he? He said, "Peace be with you." That's why Jesus went to the cross, because we're knuckleheads. Is there anybody else a knucklehead besides me? Am I the only knucklehead in this place? I mean, we're knuckleheads. Somebody reprimand that man right there. I think he just amen me being a knucklehead. Jesus, I tell people this when they come to me and they think that, "Man, I've sinned and there's no hope for me." That's why Jesus hung on a cross. Because we're knuckleheads, and that's got to be in the Bible too. Because we're sinners in need of saving. And this meal reminds us of that. Every time we partake of this meal, I want you to see when I break that bread, see in your mind the broken body of Jesus, because he loves you. When they're driving those nails into his wrist, he did it because he loves you. He said it was going to happen, and he gave us this meal to remember that he did it for us. And when we put that bread into the juice and partake of that, just remember that he spilt his blood for us willingly. They didn't drag him. You know, I've envisioned this many times too. When the Israelites, when they were taking the lamb, can you just imagine? You know, they either pick up or rope the lamb, and they're dragging this lamb to the sacrifice, and the lamb is doing whatever lambs do. They're squealing and doing things, you know, because they don't want to go. Nobody did that to this lamb. The Lamb of God marched into Jerusalem to lay down his life for you and I. You know, sometimes I use the liturgy and sometimes I don't. I want to use the liturgy today. If you it's going to be on the screen as well, but if you want to turn in your hymnal there right in front of you to page 12. I hope these words today, as we read these words and as I read and you listen to what I'm reading, I hope these words have new life to you today. As we remember the Lamb of God laying down and sacrificing his body and blood for us. There'll be bold areas for y'all to respond, and I'll read the rest. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him. So I ask you, church, do you love him? You are invited. He invites those who earnestly repent of their sin. Do you repent of your sin? Yes. You're invited. and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. If you'll read with me. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If you would pray your own personal prayer of confession. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, church, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread. He gave thanks, and he broke the bread. Gave it to his disciples and said, "This, take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup and gave thanks, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.